Hey, this is Andrea, and you're listening to the City Heart Podcast. We hope that this series inspires you, challenges you, and propels you to dive deeper into your relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Let's go ahead and jump into the Word. We're going to take a look in the book of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. If you're here or you're new to the church, if you have may not have a Bible in your hands, but you still want to follow along, I actually put up my notes every week for everyone to kind of connect and get involved in. So if you go to the YouVersion Bible app, it's the regular, right, just the Bible app on your phone. If you click on More and Events, you type in City Heart, my notes will actually pull up there for you. It has all my scriptures in there that I'll use today. And that we actually leave that up during the week for you so that you can get you can continue to study on your own, and we encourage you to do that. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to go in and dig and see for yourself what the word is saying to you. That's the best way to grow in your faith and in the knowledge of God, is to take a look for yourself. Don't rely just on the preacher, right? You go in and you do some of the work yourself, and so that's why we put our notes up. I put scriptures up, put notes up, so that during the week, so that you can just continue to dig into the word on your own and be edified again on a Wednesday when your boss is getting on your nerves, right? You can open the word back up and say, oh yes, okay, that's what we talked about Sunday. Okay, great. And you can go back in and study on your own. And so again, we encourage you to do that. We want you to do that, to be a part. Just to let you know, we've been in a new series. I started a new series, teaching series last week that's going to take us through Easter Sunday. And it's a series called This Is the Way. This is the way. And in this series, you'll see really we're just kind of preparing ourselves to learn more about Jesus as we get closer and closer to Resurrection Sunday. And so let's go ahead and take a look. And John, we'll get this set up and get on our way here. John chapter 14, we're going to look in verse number 5. John chapter 14 in verse 5 reads like this. It says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus responds here to Thomas, and he says, I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Verse 7 says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Leave something there in John chapter 14. We'll come back to that a little bit later. I want to check out one more passage of scripture. We're going to go from John to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll start reading in verse number 7. 1 John chapter 4 in verse number 7. I'm reading from the NIV today. 1 John chapter 4 in verse 7 reads like this. It says, Dear friends, let us love. Everybody say love. Love. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Let me say that again. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10 says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Drop down to verse 16 there. It says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God I love that. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Bow your heads, let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for this day. For Lord, this is a day that you have made, and Lord, we rejoice and we're glad and grateful for the opportunity, Lord, to stand in this great place teaching your word and hearing your word. And God, I pray for all of us, for me delivering the gospel today, Lord, for those who are in the room and hearing what you have to say. God, would you just anoint this place? Would you allow your Holy Spirit to move as I speak, God, as we worship, God? Would you just continue to outpour on us in a new and refreshing way that maybe we've never even felt or experienced? God, as we dig into your word, Lord, allow it to come alive. Allow us to see you. Allow us to see ourselves and maybe the things that we need to work on and improve, that we can increase and grow in our relationship with you. Lord, let the word be a mirror for us today. Let us see and hear and know all that you desire for us to know and all that you desire for us to be. Lord, we give you the glory for your word, and send your son, Jesus. We all say together, amen. 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 We're in a series, This is the Way. I'm going to preach a message today called Agape. Agape. As we lead into kind of this annual celebration that we do as the body of Christ, as we roll into this Easter season, right? You should know, for churches, this is like Super Bowl, right? It's like Easter's like, it's right. Right now, it's probably like we're in the playoffs, like the early rounds of the playoffs. But as we get closer, like it's the Super Bowl for churches. But it's so important for all of us as believers to recognize and to know and to be moving into this season of celebrating Christ's resurrection all over the world. And so what we're trying to do, what I'm attempting to do in this series, is to kind of help all of us, as much as I can in the few weeks that we have, to help us understand and know Jesus just a little bit more. That we would understand the significance of his purpose in coming to this earth, that we would understand his character, how he lived, who he was, that we would gain an understanding of his mission and also his mindset, so that we understand when Easter time comes that it's not just Easter eggs and chocolate. Thank you, Jesus, for the chocolate. But it's not just that's not the only thing, but actually we understand and are appreciative of the complete work of Christ. That would be our focus. And really that's the goal of us as believers anyway. My hope is that you're really pushing to gain a full yet ever increasing knowledge of who Jesus is. That's why we wake up on a Sunday morning and get dressed. That's why we come together and fellowship and worship together. It's so that we would know more and more every day who Jesus is, that we would know who he is. And honestly, that we're doing that because of who Jesus declares himself to be, right? We read it just now a few minutes ago, right? John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the truth and the life. That's a bold statement to say. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And even let me take it a bolder step forward beyond that. No one can come to the Father except through me. That's a pretty bold statement. It's like the bouncer at a club. Can't get in unless you come through. No, you are not on the list. Sorry. That's a bold statement to make, that Jesus makes himself. And so what he's declaring here to us is that no one has access to the Father. No one is in right standing with the Father. No one is accepted by the Father except if they come through a specific vehicle, If they come through a specific avenue or if they come through a specific way through him. That it doesn't matter how good you are, and I hope that you're good. I hope that you treat people well and that you're kind and that you do all those things. But if you don't know him, if you don't come through him and you desire to know God or to get to God, right? If you don't know him, just recognize that you won't get into the club. You're not on the list. And I know as believers, even as Christians, that can give us feelings. That's a hard thing. I don't want to say that to my unsafe friends. Come on. Can we just be honest? Those are things that sometimes we don't want to say. That it's hard for us to say, it's hard for us to communicate that Jesus is the only way. We want to throw in caveats. Well, you can kind of sort of believe that other stuff. It's okay. No, it's not. We are believers. We believe in Christ, that he is the only way. And we should and can stand confident in that belief. Why? It's not because we're saying it. It's because Jesus said it himself. And I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. And he takes it a step further in verse 7, and I love this. He says, look, if you really want, we asked the question last week, man, how do we get to God? That's the question that the world is asking, really. How do I get to God? And Jesus says here in verse 7, he says, look, if you really know me, you will know the Father as well. If you really know me, you will know the Father as well. And he's saying, look, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. If you know me, then you will know the Father. So for all those that we're talking to and maybe that we're trying to disciple or encourage to get into a relationship with God, we have to know that the way to God, and we have to communicate, and we have to know for ourselves that the way to God, the only way, is through Jesus Christ. And that's not us being mean. That's not us, right, trying to hurt people's feelings. That's just us recognizing and establishing and communicating the truth. And we can be okay with that. Why? It's because we know the way. Jesus says, I am the way. We know the way. PK, what do you mean by know the way? This is what I mean, that you know, that you have an understanding. I want you to know, not just think, not just speak, but that you know. That it's, when you know something, when you know that you know something, it's a truth that no one can take away from you. If there's no circumstance, there's no situation, there's no argument that can dissuade you from that truth. We want you to know. We want you to understand fully. What we really want is for you to begin to have a connection with Jesus and a relationship that is genuine, that is true, that is developed and growing. That's what we want you to know. And what we want you to know is the way. We want you to know the way. What I mean by the way is this, it's how we individually and collectively as the body of Christ live out the teachings of Jesus. That we would understand his ministry and his example of how he lived in his daily life, and that we apply it to our lives. That's something that we walk out. I'm letting you know today, as a believer, you must know the way. You must know the way. One of the things that pastors often struggle with, I'll lay on my couch of confession right now. One of the things that pastors often struggle with is, I'm just going to be real honest, it's having a church or an audience that is not biblically literate. That's something that pastors struggle with and what can happen, which is a good thing, right? The word talks about four paths, about four different groups of people. But sometimes what can happen, especially in a young church like ours, is that you can have two paths. You have people that are very new to the faith and people that have been in the game for like 20 years. And what can happen in that time is that because there's no connection, there's no two and three in there, it seems like no one is actually trying to increase. because I've been in the church for 25 years. Well, you're not trying to learn anything more, and you feel like you can't. And man, I've only been in the church for like 2 weeks, and you feel like, man, there's so much to learn that I don't even know if I want to do that. What we want is, what our desire is, that everyone would be, again, increasing and recognizing, man, there's so much more that I can understand. There's so much more connection that I can have. Man, my relationship with the Lord can get so much stronger, and I can live that out whether I'm 2 weeks in or whether I'm 20 years in.
Yeah, that's good.
That I can continuously walk in the way and know the way. The goal for us when you know the way is that you can become an influencer. We talked about influence last week, that you can become an influencer, right? It's a kind of a hot term these days because of social media, right? That you can be an influencer. What does that mean? An influencer is someone that is a compelling force on, or someone who produces effects on, the actions, the behavior, and the belief of others. I believe that all of us as believers of Jesus Christ, as Christians, that we are supposed to be, let me say it the Mississippi way, supposed to be influencers. That's what we are supposed to be. We're supposed to be influencers. That when you get around a group of people that maybe you don't know, that through your life and how you live it, through what you say, through what you believe and stand up for, that actually you would be an influence to others. That you would be an influence to the world, and that the world wouldn't influence you. But that you would be an influencer. That's what we want our desires for you to be. That you would be someone that lives and lets others know, hey, this is the way. This is the way. And when people see your life, they're able to recognize, oh, okay, this is the way. This is the way. Jesus' last instructions actually to his disciples was to go and be influencers. That's one of his last instructions that he gave to his disciples. Hey, I want you to go and to be influential in the world and to teach them the way. Don't believe me? Let's look at it from the word. Matthew 28, 19, 20. He says to them, therefore, go and make disciples. What is he saying? Go influence. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And key words here, teaching them, influencing them, encouraging them to obey everything I have commanded you. What is he saying here? I want you to influence people in the way. I want you to influence people in the way. Go and teach people the way. Stop holding this information to yourself. Ooh, I'll raise my hand on that one. Stop hoarding your influence. Stop hoarding or hanging on to your testimony and not sharing it. Stop holding on. Ooh, I'm about stepping in bad water, right? Stop holding on to your love and your encouragement for other people. But be an influencer to your neighbor, to your coworkers, people on your campus. Be an influencer, not just through TikTok, not just through Instagram, but through the way. Showing people the way. Go and teach people the way. We said last week that one of the strongest producers of influence in people's lives is belonging. Letting people know that they belong, that really that they're included, that they're accepted, that they're wanted. What people want is to feel loved. What does that belonging look like? It feels like love. That's what people are searching for these days. They want love. You go to any nation, any tribe, you go to any creed, color, background, political affiliation, experience in life, it doesn't matter. People want to know and experience love. They really do. They may not say it. They may show it in different ways, but everyone wants to experience love. And the only type of love capable of fulfilling the desire of belonging that we all have. We've all felt that desire of belonging, of wanting to belong, of wanting to feel included and accepted and wanted. The only thing that can fulfill that desire of belonging is love. And even more specific than that, it's a specific type of love that can really only meet that fulfilling, and that's agape love. It's agape love. There's different types of love, right? You have eros love, philia love, right? That's sexual love, and then the love of self, right? There's all these different types of love, but the only love that can fulfill what's in here, that feeling of belonging that people have, it's agape love. Agape love is actually the highest level of love you could offer to another person. That's because agape love is two things. Agape love is selfless and it's sacrificial. What fills that place of belonging in people? What helps them to feel like I am included, I am accepted, I am wanted? It's when they feel like you are selfless and sacrificial towards them. That's how we get people to feel like they belong. Every husband knows this. You want your wife to really know that she's included and accepted in what's going on in your life? Sacrifice and do some dishes. Be selfless in how you talk about her or what's going on in your life. And that gets to a place of love, that eros love, right? Touch and feel and sex. It's so much greater than that. That's a different level of love, even between friends. You want somebody that in your life that you feel like, man, this is my ride or die. This is the person that I can hang with forever. Man, I know that they have my back and I have theirs. If you want that level of friendship, of love between you and your girlfriend or you and your homeboy or whoever it might be selfless and sacrificial. The people that I have in my life, the friends that I've had forever, are people that have been selfless towards me and have sacrificed for me. And that level of love, it's unmatched, right? This type of love is given without any expectations of receiving anything in return. So when we give agape love, what we're doing is we're making the choice to influence people with love despite their circumstance. We're choosing to influence people with love despite their circumstance. Parents know this love all too well. Let a bad diaper come your way. That is a selfless and sacrificial love. Parents, amen? Amen. Amen. Some of y'all got teenagers. Whoo! That is selfless and sacrificial love. Them little people start to get older and start to use words and they think that they're thinking real thoughts. Coherent thoughts. It takes selfless and sacrificial love just to not smack them across the head, right? That's selfless. Come on, I get an amen right there from a few of y'all got some teenagers. That is selfless and sacrificial. And that's the type of love where we give without expecting anything in return. When I loved my babies when they came, my two little girls, there's literally nothing they could do for me. So I was giving in a way, knowing that I was not going to receive anything in return. That's what we see in 1 Corinthians 13. I don't even have time to read it, right? Love that doesn't fail. Love that's selfless. Love that doesn't give up. Love that does all of these things despite the circumstances. Let me give you some examples from the word here of what this selfless, sacrificial love looks like. John 3:16, y'all know this. Maybe you heard it before, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. Right off the bat, boom, sacrificial love right there. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This was selfless. to give his son for us. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. How does this show that it's selfish and sacrificial? One, this verse lets us know that we were in a position to be condemned. If you think about it, when he says, actually, he didn't send his son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We were all in a position to be condemned because of our sin. But he chose to send his son to actually save us. He chose to send his one and only, his baby, to the world for us. That is selfish and sacrificial. Let me give you another one, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, keyword being still, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's one thing when you get in trouble and the trouble's over to love on your child or to love on your spouse or to love, right, on your friend in that way. It's a whole different thing to understand that they're in a bad circumstance and still show love and still make that choice. It's one thing when the baby's already taken a bath. It's a whole other thing when it's crawling up their back. Any parents ever had a blowout, you know what I'm talking about. That's a whole different level of love. But in the same way, that's how the Father sees us. When we literally are living in our sin and it's crawling up our back and you can touch it and you can see it on your hands and it's all nasty. That Christ still chose to die for us, knowing our circumstance. The way, the truth, and the life, his word says completed, some say perfected, in this selfless and sacrificial love. This is the only way that we can love God. It's the only way that we can get to know God. This is the way, in that way, in a way that sees people in the condition that they're in. This is the way that we're supposed to know and share with others. It's this love that we're supposed to know and to share with others. And we read it earlier, right? 1 John, right, 4:7-12, right, says, dear friends, let us love one another. And I feel like this should say, let us agape love one another. Let us selflessly and sacrificially love one another. Why? For love, this type of love, comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So when we love in this selfless, sacrificial way, what we're doing is showing, right, that we know God. It's us expressing that love to other people. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love, whoever does not, I'll put it in there again, whoever does not agape love does not know God. If you can't love in a selfless and sacrificial way, the way that God loves, you don't know him. If you can see another person and not extend to them the same love that God has extended to you, the same grace and mercy that God extends to you. If you can't do that for someone else, you don't know God. And I know that feels rough. PK, that's hard to say. Yeah, but it's the truth. And it's the expectation that's given to us. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. He's the essence of selflessness and sacrifice. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son, here it is, as an atoning sacrifice. You don't have to take my word for it. Look at the word. It says it right there that the love, the type of love that he's showing to us is sacrificial and it's selfless, right? That atoning means basically that he paid for you, that he paid the price for your sin, that he paid the price for what you should be paying for. He was condemned so that you didn't have to be. That's the type of love that we're supposed to show. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Verse 11 says then, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Since God loved us in that way, we're supposed to love one another in that way. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love, look, it's made complete. Some of your verses that you have, KJV and KJV says it is perfected in us. This type of love has become almost foreign to us because of how much we've become focused on pleasing ourselves as a culture. Like thinking of, right, it's foreign when you talk about selfless and sacrificial love to us because of what we see in the world. And there's a lot of times where people feel like, man, there's so much hate, and maybe that's the reason why there's such a lack of love. That's why we don't have love, because man, there's just so much hate, and that's the reason. I beg to differ. Because that mentality says that hate is the opposite of love. Right? There's so much hate that it negates love. Actually, selfishness, not hate, is the opposite of love. It's selfishness. It's not thinking about the other person. It's thinking about yourself above the other person. That somehow you're better. That somehow you're more deserving of God's grace and mercy than the next person, or the lost person, or the homeless person, or the black person, or the white person, or the Asian person. Somehow we get into our minds that we're more deserving than that other person. We're more deserving than the Democrat. We're more deserving of love than the Republican. We're more deserving of love than the independent or the Green Party person. We get that into our minds. That God's love, his selflessness, and his sacrifice was for the person that has it all together, seemingly, than the person whose life seems to be falling apart. But God's love is for all of us. Your agape, your selfless, sacrificial love will show others the way. When you make that decision to begin to show this type of love, other people will see that in you. Even if they can't specifically name it or call it, the qualities and characteristics seen in you are the ones that represent and embody who Jesus Christ is and was when he came to this earth. It shows us when you live this out, when you live out this selfish and sacrificial love, you are showing why Christ came, and you're showing the mindset and the mentality that not only God has had for us, but what Christ had when he chose to have his head crowned with thorns. When that was done to him, when his back was beaten, right? When he was beaten to within an inch of his life, you are showing that type of love when you show love to other people. You embody what Christ came to do on this earth. And that's why Jesus told his disciples this. He told them, John 15:12, he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than the person who has chosen to lay down their life for one of their friends. There is no greater level of love that you can show than to be selfless and sacrificial for other people. That's what we're called to do as believers. This is the way. You want to know how to love somebody? This is the way. Selfless and sacrificially. This is the way. I told y'all last week, we got to start calling each other out. When we see somebody not operating in a way that we know is the way, not that you condemn them, not that you're trying to put them down or you're trying to blow their spot up, but that, you, hey, we're holding one another accountable and say, hey, you know what? Actually, this is the way. We would live this in such a way that it would be seen. This is what Christ did for us. His agape love for us saw your pride. It saw your ego. It saw your envy. It saw your lies. It saw your scheming. It saw your evil. And still went to the cross. Still went there. He still chose to declare, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life on your behalf. And it would behoove us. It is our job to do the same. It is our job to live the same. It's our job to show the same, to show that we know who Jesus is. John 14, 7 says, look, if you really know me, if you really understand how I love, if you're really prepared to make that decision to love selflessly and sacrificially, then you will know my Father as well. You want to know, man, how do I help somebody to get to God? How can I be the person that helps the next person leave their life of sin, leave their life of brokenness, leave their life of depression and hopelessness? It's begin to help them know who Jesus is. And we do that by living out agape love in our lives. That they would see the way. Just how we live and how we carry ourselves, and they'd be so convinced, man, I've got to live that way. I got to know, what is it that you're doing? Because I want that in my life. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. This encourages us to know Jesus, to know love, to know belonging. People are desiring this because they want to know the Father. 1 John 4, 16, I'll end right here. It says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. And whoever lives in love, if you live in love, if you live out the way, and it says that you live in God. So I don't have to know how to get to God. If you live in love, the word says that you are living in God. He literally is in your presence. I love, we read it earlier, Matthew, right? We read the passage in Matthew where Jesus gives the great commission, right, to his disciples. What does he say at the end there? He says, look, I want you to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. In the last part of that verse, and says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. What is he trying to tell us there? That if you love, that you will live in God. Verse 17 says, this is how love is made complete, is made perfect among us, that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. This is how it's made perfect. This is the key right here. Ding, ding, ding. So you know, highlighters going off. In this world, we are like Jesus. In this world, we are living the way every day. We're showing in every way that we can in our lives. This is the way. Agape. This is the way. Selfless, sacrificial. Bow your heads. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you want to hear more about this series or learn more about our church, check us out at cityheartjackson.com or follow us online at cityheartjxn.